Just a few words of announcements this morning. We are really glad that you are here this morning, and hope you have been made to feel welcome this morning. And it is our prayer this morning as you worship with us that you experience the presence of Christ in your life through our prayer and through our songs and the word this morning. A couple words of announcement. Family night begins again Wednesday night. Wednesday night at 6 o'clock will be our fellowship meal, followed by a time of prayer and a time of study as well. There will also, I was just fixing to get to that. There is also a very brief called conference on Wednesday, strictly for the purpose of voting on some enlistment issues. There will be the monthly prayer group meeting Thursday at 10 a.m., and you are invited to come and to meet with them, as well as Baptist men will be meeting 9 o'clock on Saturday. If you have not had an opportunity to pick up a name for our prayer partner ministry, you are invited to do so. And basically, if you are not aware of what that is, we have each of our children, and by children, that's preschool, school age, youth, and college as well, are given a prayer partner. You get to choose an envelope and you don't know who's in it, and that is your person to pray for throughout this coming school year, to develop a little bit of a relationship with and to get to know. And it's a good way to encourage and support our young people. When we built the gym, or as the gym was completed, Recreation Committee had taken up some suggestions of what they would like to, how we would like to use it, and there were some classes that were suggested. Right now, in the Welcome Center outside of the gym, there are three sign-up sheets on the desk. One is for a senior adult aerobic class, one is for an aerobic class, and another for a yoga class. If you are interested in any of those, there is not a time assigned yet to them. If you are interested in one of those classes, please go sign up on that list. There is a place for them to get your contact information. I'm assuming some times will be determined by interest and who's available when. This is an announcement near and dear to my heart. If you are, by any chance, have had vivid dreams of playing in a handbell choir, or singing in an adult choir, I would say maybe dance, I don't know, I just threw that in there. If you are a closet musician, and you have been sitting in the pews and thinking to yourself, oh, that was really nice, too bad I wasn't up there. Now is your time. We are beginning all of next weekend. We'll kick off handbells and youth choir, and we take adult choir members anytime, don't we?
Absolutely. Yes.
You will not find a more fun group in this church. I absolutely promise you. Some nights I shake my head a lot, but. Anyway, but you are invited. If you'd like more information, come see me. I would be glad to fill you in on how you can join one of our groups. Ushers are going to come down the aisles now. I've already said hello to our visitors, and we are glad you are here this morning. There are pew pads in each pew, and if you've not already signed them, I invite you to sign that and pass that down. But if you are a first-time visitor, you've not gotten a visitor's packet before, I ask you just raise your hand up just a little bit. Say not enough to make everybody zero in on you, but enough to get the attention of the ushers there, and they would love to give you a little information about College Park, and we would love to have a little bit so we can make you feel welcome. I said earlier, it is our prayer this morning that as you are here in worship this morning, that you experience the presence of Christ. It is our prayer that you leave here changed this morning, that you leave here refreshed, that you leave here with a clearer sense of who God is and what His plan is for you as an individual. As we enter a time of worship, I invite you to open yourself up to what He may have for you this morning, and to offer yourself fully to Him in worship. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we come this morning knowing that you are present with us. And Lord, knowing that your presence requires our full attention. So Lord, as we gather, as we begin to open ourselves to you, Lord, help us to throw off those things that would distract us this morning. Lord, help us to hear your words. Help us to recognize your voice. And Lord, help us this morning to offer to you all our heart and our soul, our mind and our strength. Lord, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, may what happens in this place and in the coming week be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
And you jumped, that I would catch you. How many of you believe that I could do that? Raise your hand if you believe that I can do that. Wait a minute. There's only four of you raising your hand. Come on. How many of everybody's raising their hand now. Okay, good, 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 good. Candy for everybody later. All right, now. Not for you. All right. But how many of you would actually want to try? That's not the lesson. That's not the lesson. All right. You, up on top, up on top. Everybody take... Okay, now, if you hurt me, all right. Now look, this is the difference. This is what faith is. Now, Caleb, do you trust me? You trust me. So you have to jump. Don't head... whoa! No. That, sit down, sit. Listen, are you listening? That is the difference between believing and having faith. If we had faith, if Caleb really had faith that I would catch him, it wouldn't matter. He would have jumped, but he got scared. We all get scared when stuff like this happens. Oh, I know, Jeff, you could catch me. All of you eventually raised your hand thinking that I would catch you. But it's much tougher to come up on this top step and actually act on what we say we believe. That is exactly what faith is. I believe something, but if it changes my life, that is faith. I act on things that I can't see or do or have experience with. That is exactly what faith is. God wants us to have faith in Jesus. That even though we can't see him, even though we have never met him like I can see you, that we know he lives inside of us. And he wants us to act a certain way and to do certain things, even though sometimes it doesn't make sense. That's exactly what happened here this morning. Faith is really, really important. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the lesson of what the difference is between just believing and having faith. We want to believe in you, even though we've never seen you face to face. We know that you're in our lives. We know that Jesus lives in us. And he wants us to act on what we say we believe. That is what faith is. Help us to have faith every day, in Jesus' name, amen. Go back to your seats now. Good job. No jumping. Good job. You go back to. I know. Pastor Raymond has some candy in his office. You can go back to your seat, Jared. You have two pastor pals? We'll go give them to your mom right now, okay? How long can we keep this going? I don't know. All right. That is good stuff. Our scripture reading from this morning comes from Psalm... I wasn't even supposed to be here this morning. Psalm 112. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. You have a pew Bible there. Psalm 112. Hear the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns from the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor.
His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, as we have seen, there is a great difference between just believing in something and having faith. Father, in our world that is so often ruled by polls and theories and how things should work, instruction books or the internet, we try to explain away so many things, or there's an explanation for anything that happens. In our intellect, we try to be smarter than who you are. But the reality is, we are so far from an understanding of your world. We try to be so smart, but yet we find ourselves so ignorant on so many things that concern you. Your ways are higher than our ways. Father, so often we refuse to trust you with our lives, even though we know who you are. Our daily actions so often fail to honor you, to trust you, to remember that you are who you say you are and you're going to do what you say you'll do. Help us this day to remember the righteous path is the path of faith in Christ. Let us not trust on anything else, but the desire to live for you, regardless of the cost, regardless of the questions, regardless of the doubts. May we this day choose faith. May we leap, even when everybody else around us says that doesn't make sense. That's the kind of people we need to be in a world that rejects you. May we reflect on the heroes of our faith, the people that have gone before us, who have set the example of doing things in an unconventional way, of stepping out when nothing made sense, except for your call. May our church be that kind of church. May our people be those kinds of people. May our leaders passionately move us to places of challenge. May this time of worship, you remind us you are a God who is much bigger than our thoughts, much bigger than our dreams, much bigger than even our world. And your plan is great. And this life takes faith. We need your courage, your passion, and your strength, we pray. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
Trust in Jesus, trust today, amen. Events of the last several days have left us shaken. The use of chemical warfare in Syria, gunfire at a local high school, some events that are very personal that only we know them individually. When things like this happen, we search for answers. We can't find those answers on our own. Fortunately, we don't have to. We have a strength, we have an option much greater than any of us. And that's the promise that God has with the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Let us give thanks.
Father, we love you. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We give thanks for the unwavering promise that you are willing and able to do what is best for us if we will only place our trust in you. The world is a scary and dangerous place. We are reminded of this fact when we hear allegations that a government has used chemical weapons on its own people. The city of Damascus braces for a punitive retaliation by the United States. We're frightened by the prospects of where such action might lead, and are also frightened by the consequences of no response. But if we're honest, this morning Syria seems a long way away. The world is indeed a scary and dangerous place. We're reminded of that when we learn that one student has shot another at Carver High School right here in Winston-Salem. Our schools should be a place of enrichment and shelter. We do not want to even imagine when we send our children to school in the morning that they might not be able to come home to us that evening. The world is a scary and dangerous place. We seek safety and comfort, but we will never truly find it on our own. You represent our salvation. You are our strength and our refuge. It is our prayer that we receive the courage to trust in you, to accept the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We ask that you bless this church and its congregation. We're thankful for such a caring place to come worship you. We thank you for all the blessings of life and the opportunity to share them with others. We pray for the leaders of our country and of the rest of the world. Guide them in thy will, especially during this period of turmoil and crisis. And we especially pray for the members of our armed services, both home and abroad. Please protect them as they protect us. We ask these things in your name. Thank you.
is breaking, night is waking, God is making all things new. Jesus saves. Hear the heart of heaven beating, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, and the heart.
It's just not fair. Have you ever heard that expressed? Usually it's accompanied by a little stomp or something. It's just not fair. I was at the NC State ball game yesterday watching my beautiful daughter dance, and there was actually a ball game going on too. And I heard that sentiment expressed by someone behind me after the referee threw a flag. He said, it's just not fair. You shouldn't have thrown that flag. You don't understand. Perhaps you don't see well. He didn't say those exact words, but I'm sure that's what he meant. I'm sure that's probably what he meant. You know, this whole concept of fairness for children especially. Parents, if you haven't heard it, it's not fair. It's just not fair. If you haven't heard that, you will. Most parents have heard that. Most parents have even said that themselves. You know, and it's this whole concept of fairness. Why in the world do we think that life should be fair? Why do we think that? You know, how well we respond to this whole issue and this puzzle in our lives of fairness, no doubt, has a lot to do with how we've dealt with it ourselves, how we have worked through it, how we've coped with those feelings ourselves. Since it is one of the hard questions of life, we may have tried to avoid it or evade it, or we may have tried to deny the reality of it, but life is not fair. I've heard even people say, well, you know, God's just not fair. Well, excuse me. God does not have to be our human concept of fair. What makes us think we can place human value judgments on the God who created us? He doesn't have to be fair by our definition. He's just. I would much rather him be just, wouldn't you? Faith is one of those venues that we use to try to make some sense out of life and its seeming unfairness. But as we all know, it's not easy to comprehend the meaning of faith, as Jeff and the children wrestled with it up here. Faith is not an ironclad protection sometimes. Rather, we might say it's the capability to live creatively within our own insecurities. Insecurities about, yeah, I believe that, but will I take action upon that? And we can measure the value of our faith in direct proportion to our skill in living productively with all the unanswered questions that we may have on any given day. You see, Jesus never promised us a roadmap, but he did pledge to go with us. He pledged to walk beside us. Jesus never assured us of unqualified happiness or security or even good fortune, yet he did assure us of his presence, of his comfort, of his strength as we walk that journey. Jesus has invited us into a journey that has to be lived by faith in a risky, dangerous, as Neurel has pointed out, somewhat ambiguous world. Living by faith is what Hebrews chapter 11 talks about. I know that 3 weeks ago we read the first part of chapter 11 and we kind of worked through that. I want to pick up and kind of finish out chapter 11 and then move us in just the first two verses of chapter 12. So I'll be reading this morning from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29 through chapter 12, verse 2. Stay with me. Some good stuff here. For those of you that know your Old Testament, you'll appreciate some of the illustrations. The author continues in verse 29 with some of his illustrations of Old Testament personalities. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, refused to be released, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, big word there. Therefore, knowing all that we have just read, knowing about all these situations that occurred, knowing about the seeming unfairness of how some of God's people had been treated, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I paused on the word therefore, and that was intentional. Therefore. I think that one word ties all of these stories in chapter 11, all of these remembrances for the children of Israel reading this, you know, for the new Christians who were reading this letter, that would be a good refresher course. Remember all that God has seen his people through. Therefore, do these things. Therefore, remember these things. He talks about a cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses. It's like the observers, perhaps, at a ball game, perhaps at a concert, perhaps even here this morning. A cloud of witnesses. These faithful witnesses, these faithful spectators, we are told, finished their earthly work. They lived by faith. They lived out their faith. And so they were noteworthy. They were worth being mentioned as those who lived by faith. Now they cheer us on. Now they cheer us on. They are hopeful for us. They want us to finish the race faithfully as they finish the race. They want to encourage us to do so, like a cheering crowd cheering on an athlete who is running a race. And that's the metaphor they use. Running a race, cheering us on. And they want us to know that the weight and the sin that we lay aside, it acknowledges impediments that hinder people sometimes, that keep us from being faithful to God's will. Acknowledge those, but overcome those. The writer keeps using this athletic metaphor of a race, comparable to images of journey or walking in God's way in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Running the race artfully portrays a person's relationship to God. We see it in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We see it in Paul's letter to Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. And what we know from running the race is that those who stick with the race persevere in spite of pain and other stumbling blocks. These stumbling blocks are the reason that a lot of people give up the race. They say it's just not worth it. And even if we who run the race are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, we are also urged not necessarily to put our eyes on the witnesses, but who? On Jesus. Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter, some translators say the finisher of our faith. The one who perfected our faith. This pioneer motif appears earlier in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. You see, Jesus is in front of us. He's bidding us to the finish line, which is our union with and in God. I was touched this morning. I was up 5:30, 6 o'clock watching Sports Center while I ate my breakfast. Yeah, that's good spiritual preparation some days. Eating my breakfast, and I saw this highlight of this team that was playing Oregon State. Oregon State was a highly favored team. They were nationally ranked. And this little team called Eastern Washington went in to play them. And it turns out Eastern Washington beat them. And it was one of these, it probably will be one of the classic stories from this season of football. Here's this little team with no expectation, knocks off a nationally ranked team. And what I was touched by is right at the end of the game, after it was apparent that these men from Eastern Washington had overcome, that they had finished the race, that, you know, they were victors in this race. One of the guys jumped up in the stands, pretty athletic move, jumped up in the stands and ran over and hugged his mama. I'm sitting there going, yeah, I missed a couple bites of my cereal just watching that. I'm like, yeah. And I knew what I was going to be preaching on. And I said, you know, how much more should we long for the embrace of Jesus, the perfecter of our faith? When we've finished our race, when we've been victors, how much more should we long to run to him and embrace him? It's to feel that hug and to hear, well done. Man. The author of Hebrews wants us to know that Jesus ran that race too. He ran it too. The prize was the joy that was set before him. This joy concerns pleasing God or receiving greater wealth, not in a spiritual sense. In chapter 11, verse 6 and 26, it makes that reference. Want us to know greater wealth is something that is to be aspired to. Again, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Jesus' race, we know, was two obstacles. Two obstacles. First of all, enduring the cross. Second of all, disregarding its shame. Enduring the cross. Surviving the most cruel, painful, physical death that human beings' sick minds have ever dreamed up. Enduring the cross. Our salvation was bought with an extreme price. And disregarding its shame. They were crucified for the purpose of not just physical death, but humiliation. For all to come by and spit on or jeer or whatever they felt like doing to him. He endured that. He overcame those two obstacles. The race's reward for Jesus was taking his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Our passage from Hebrews today drives the point home that this cloud of faithful witnesses who preceded us accomplished their sojourn through life, and they did it by faith. In similar fashion to the text that we read three weeks ago, and when we just that phrase by faith, through faith, by it's just like a jackhammer. It just keeps coming at you all through chapter 11. By faith, by faith, by faith. I mean, and it has this accumulative effect on the reader. Hebrews is earnest when it says the heroes of faith lived by faith. It sounds redundant, and it's designed to be so. By faith, by faith, by faith. This passage underscores the reality of the faith of our forebears, and it serves as a good remedy to our society and the way we often grasp at life today. Far too frequently, we are so self-sufficient that we think it's not funny. Literally, it's not funny. It doesn't end with good results. You know, if you don't believe that, look at the newspaper. I mean, it's all around us. When we are left to our own devices, it's tragic. And it goes all the way back, people. Think about Adam and Eve. What did they do when left to their devices? Yeah. You know, Adam ate the apple and then blamed it on Eve. But Lord, this woman you gave me. Hello? They were ashamed. They hid. They found out they were naked. So what did they do? Yeah, they tried to make clothes. They made them out of fig leaves. This is a classic example of scripture of what happens when you leave human to their own devices. And you're going, well, what do you mean? Have you ever felt of a fig leaf? It would be much akin to where you realized, oh, I'm naked. I think I'll make underwear out of 80 grit sandpaper. I'm not being facetious. Feel of a fig leaf and then go, wow, I'd sure love to make underwear out of that. That's what happens when human beings are left to their own devices. It's not pretty. It's usually not a good plan. When left alone, we make poor choices. When left alone, we hold ourselves as the final judge of right and wrong, fair and unfair. And we usually get it wrong. The witnesses of old present to us another way. They say, you know, whether you're passing through the Red Sea or receiving spies in peace or breaching the walls of Jericho, do it by faith. Do it by God's way. Do it by faith. Good stewards of faith begin with the recognition that our God is a God of promise. He keeps his promises to us. And then the concluding part of this epistle lesson today encourages us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Will it be easy? No, he didn't promise it would be easy. Again, he promised he would be with us. Will it always be pleasurable? No. But even when it's not pleasurable, it can be joyful. With God's help, claiming his promises, we walk by. Now you've got it. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we know when left to our own plans and schemes, there's a high probability that we'll get it wrong. But Father, we know when we seek your plan, when we seek your will and we seek your ways, you lift us out of this mess that we call life and show us what real life is all about. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. And we ask that even today, as we leave this place, and in the days to come, the weeks to come, the months to come, the years to come, that each day, Father, that we would seek you first. And then we would recognize when you place things in our path for ministry, when you place people in our path for ministry, when you place decisions in our path, Father, to teach us to depend on you. May we be faithful. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning, and as I've talked about Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, you may be asking yourself, I haven't really experienced that. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. This is your day. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment, and I want to encourage you. If that's where you are in life, I want to help you in your journey. I want to introduce you to Jesus of Nazareth, who died for you and desires deeply a personal relationship with you. I'll be here. I'll be glad to talk with you. Or you call me this week. I'll be glad to talk with you whenever and wherever that you would desire to. If you're here this morning, you say, I am a believer, but I have this hang up about, you know, wanting to control my own journey. We'll pray for you. You pray. You can certainly pray where you are and ask for God's help in setting you back on course, the course that he desires for you. Again, I'll be here at the front. Be glad to pray with you if that's what you'd like. If you're here this morning, you say, I'd like to be a member of this church. I can tell you this. This is a great congregation of people. Not perfect because it's made of people, but it is a great congregation of people. And we will help and we will encourage you along your journey. There are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about those if that's your desire. Whatever your decision this morning is, though, take this time. You know, be serious with God. Let him encourage you. Let him touch you at your point of need or at your point of conviction as we stand and sing together now. From today is Back to Church Sunday. Last year was the first year we had participated in this national recognition of encouraging people to, for many who've been away from church, to come back to church. For others, maybe a first time in. I tell you that just so you will know, that doesn't mean you can't invite anybody to church next week. What that means is 2 weeks from now, we will have kind of an emphasis in that regard. We want to give you an opportunity to recognize and to talk with people. You know, it's kind of a good introductory line. Did y'all know that September 15th is National Back to Church Sunday? And they go, huh? And then you can invite them to church, see? It gives you an opportunity. So 2 weeks from today, put that on your prayer list and make that a part of your daily routine, looking for opportunities to invite people to come to church. Will you do that? Yes, we will. Yes, we will. All right, following our benediction and response, I want to encourage you, greet one another, wish each other well. It's a good opportunity for you to send each other out with a good feeling about what God is going to do through us personally as well as corporately during this week. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. It is a blessing to be in your house. It's an opportunity for us to learn what you desire for us. Father, we pray that as we go from these walls, we recognize that we're going into our mission field, that it's a part of running our race. Help us to be faithful, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.